Thank you, Brother Peter. It's a joy to see many people here, many visitors. It's great to have you, those from other churches too. As Pastor Matthew has mentioned, please, if I could exhort you to pray tomorrow. I believe that tomorrow in many ways will be the catalyst for perhaps a change in direction, a change of emphasis in how we have to address Christian education in Australia. We may have to move, if we don't think we're in an upbeat fashion already, we might have to even be more upbeat. Because we have those who in Canberra are not our friends ideologically. They're opposed to what we're seeking to achieve in and through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And tomorrow could well be that watershed of which we speak. And so please pray, please engage, that the angels of heaven might engage the forces of evil tomorrow. And, you know, I think of so many instances of it in Scripture where things miraculously occurred that nobody else could explain other than the intervention of God. We pray that that would be the case tomorrow. Please join us in prayer. Okay, well, we're thrilled tonight to report on our recent high school seniors' mission trip to Fiji. Here's the team up here. They're a good-looking bunch, aren't they, don't you think? And I'd love to think that they're all here tonight, but they're not. Dr. Herrington, in the first instance, said that he had local church responsibilities tonight, and so he's engaged there. Miss Sampson was all prepared to come, and she's not well today, so I'm going to pretend to be Miss Sampson when it's her turn tonight to do that. The rest of the team is all there. I could spend time introducing everybody, but I won't necessarily go through there. I'll ask each one that's coming up here to speak, please, to introduce themselves when they do come up. Sadly, not everybody's going to be up here on the platform tonight. There was a last-minute change on Friday to what we had planned. And so there's two or three or four that won't actually be up here on the platform tonight, reporting or performing in any way tonight. But we understand. 11 seniors, along with Miss Gloria Sampson, Dr. Herrington, and I left Sydney on Friday, 28th of September. You can read that. For 10 to 11 days in Fiji. We were hosted by Liberty Baptist Church, Bar Town. Okay, it's not Bar. We've got to say it. Bar. Can you say it? Bar. Bar. That's it. Bar. I was rebuked while I was over there saying Bar. It's Bar. That's right. So it's Bar Town, which is a sugarcane growing area. If you're looking at the main island of Fiji, it's sort of up the top on the northwest corner. It's not all that far from Lotoka and Nandi. If you're driving on New South Wales roads, it might take you about half an hour. Victorian roads, about 15 minutes. Fijian roads took us about an hour and 10 minutes to get there, didn't it? Because every native village you go through, there's speed humps on the highway, on the Queen's Highway. There's some speed humps there to slow you down. Anyway, we were hosted by Liberty Baptist Church, sugar cane growing area, and it's a commercial area of Fiji. It's a lot of industry and a lot of commerce in that town. Pastor Navi Bola is the native Fijian pastor there, and his profile in my eyes went up and up and up and up and up as we were there. I really appreciate his fine ministry. Fiji is 3,159 kilometres northeast of Sydney. Okay, and we enjoyed the flight, not too long, it was good. Compared with Fiji, we live in a land of material abundance and far, far greater quality of life. Just a few statistics that I dug out to bring with me here this evening. Salaries in Australia are 5.5 times greater than the salaries in Fiji, just to give you some idea. People live 10 years longer in Australia on average than they do in Fiji. Australians are 34% less likely to be unemployed. So that just gives you some idea of the land of Fiji and the economy of Fiji. But Fijians are far more happy than we are, and they are respectful of the gospel. It's an amazing transformation to be there relating to these people who are respectful for the gospel. The gospel was very much upon our hearts. And as we went to Fiji,
it was on our minds, in our hearts, and we were not the first, however, to bring the gospel to Fiji. A lot of people say, when did the gospel come to Fiji? Well, the first Christian missionaries in Fiji were Wesleyan Methodists from Tahiti in 1830. They came over to the island of Lakemba. Isn't that interesting? Now, we have Lakemba across here. Rebecca was sharing with me, it's a landowner from there who was a... sugar plantation, transplanted himself to Sydney, and he named it Lakemba, but it's not spelt with the B over there. There's no B, but you still say Lakemba, okay? Here, he put a B in to help us with our pronunciation. So, Tahitian missionaries first came to the islands of Fiji back in 1830. And further, Wesleyan Methodist missionaries from Australia landed there in 1835. One of them, sadly, was eaten. Okay, can't remember which one, didn't have time to look it up, but these were cannibalistic people, the native Fijians. Thankfully not today. To just introduce the ministry of Fiji and our love for the gospel and the gospel that we wanted to present to the children's ministries in particular, we're going to have a skit. I'm going to ask all of those that are involved in the skit titled The Heavenly Express to come up here. We're going to have to rearrange a little bit of furniture up here on the platform. But we'd like to be able to present to you right now, if we could please, The Heavenly Express. So I'll get out of the way. Oh, no, I'll help the students arrange the furniture a bit. But please, can you come up if you're part of the skit? Let's have that now, if we could please. We could separate these chairs. Can they stay here or what? Oh, you want the table, don't you? You want the table? Okay.
Tickets to the inspector, because nobody's going to be allowed on board without a ticket.
All aboard!
Excuse me, ma'am. What are we doing here?
I beg your pardon?
What are we doing here? I mean, I don't remember anything before here, and now I seem to be here, but I'm not sure why.
Well, we're just waiting for the train to leave.
What train?
It's called the Heavenly Express. It'll leave soon from Platform 1 and we'll all want to be on it.
Are you sure?
Yeah. The conductor just made an announcement.
Well, hadn't we better get on board?
Absolutely. Please, go right ahead.
Okay. Aren't you coming?
Yeah, but I have a few things to do first. You go. I'll be there soon. Excuse me, is this the way to the Heavenly Express?
Yes, ma'am.
Good, I don't want to be late. Let's see, do I have everything? Here it is, my ticket. Well, goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you.
A ticket? You didn't say I needed a ticket.
Well, of course you need a ticket. Everybody needs a ticket. You can't get on a train without a ticket.
Well, how much are they? I'm not sure how much money I have.
You can't buy them with money.
Why not?
Because they're free.
Free?
Ridiculous.
Excuse me?
Ridiculous. Anything that important can't just be free.
But they are.
Why?
Basically because we don't have enough anything valuable enough to pay for them.
Oh, what do you know? I have a gold-edged, platinum-plated, flame-resistant master surcharge.
Very impressive.
Thank you. I have a line of credit a mile long at a prestigious national bank.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And believe me, if anyone can buy one of those tickets, I can. I'd like one ticket on the Heavenly Express, please. Money is no object, and I'd like to travel first class.
Oh, all of the tickets on the Heavenly Express are first class, sir.
What? No class distinction?
No, sir.
You mean just anyone can get aboard this train?
Yes, absolutely anybody.
Then I'm not interested. I mean, if just anyone can get aboard this train, it must not be a trip worth taking. And I can assure you, I wouldn't like it once I got there.
I'm very sorry to hear that, sir. I hope you reconsider.
Never.
God is not willing that any should perish.
What do you know?
He didn't ask him how much.
I already told you they're for free.
Oh, what do you know?
Ask him.
Fine. Excuse me, sir, how much are the tickets worth?
They are priceless.
Well, if they're priceless, then how can anyone afford them?
Well, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
I think your ticket sale man has issues. He's talking nonsense.
He's right, you'll see. Excuse me, is this the way to the Heaven Express?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please help me? I'm not as young as I look.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm not getting any younger just standing here.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, my heart is weak, my knees creak, my vision is lousy. Look at me, I'm a mess.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't be smart.
Excuse me, I'd like a ticket on the Heaven Express.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'd like a section reserved for those of us who can't get around as quickly as the others. So, in other words, I want a pre-board and I want a wheelchair waiting for me.
I'm sorry, ma'am. We have no such reserved seating. And we don't have pre-board.
What? No special reserved sections? Can't you see how old I am? Don't you feel sorry for me and can't you feel my pain?
Yes, but where you're going, there'll be no more pain and sorrow. There'll be no more death and illness. And God will wipe away every tear from your eye.
Listen here, little man. I spent a lifetime getting into this shape, and no one is going to tell me I have to give it all up just to get on a train.
But this is no ordinary train.
Well, what do you know?
Now that's sad. What a pathetic display. Listen, please, tell me how to get one of those priceless tickets that you can't buy with money, that gets you onto a train with no class distinctions and no special reservations, and takes you to a place where there is no sorrow, sickness, or death, and everyone is eternally joyous and happy.
Well, it's pretty simple. All you have to do is accept Jesus, the Son of God, as your Saviour and Lord. It is His righteousness alone that can reserve your place on that train, and it is His death on the cross that pays the price for your ticket. He is the way.
I believe. Jesus, Son of God, I am a sinner. Nothing I do, nothing I possess can buy my way into heaven. I accept you as my Saviour and Lord. Thank you for what you did on the cross to pay my price and to guarantee my place in heaven. Amen.
You're a ticket.
Well, what do you know?
All aboard!
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed the Heavenly Express. There's some wonderful, wonderful truths in that skit, are there not? We were to have another skit tonight, but this is the one that's not proceeding. It's called the Bean Skit. And it was just a lot of fun, but some of the participants judged that it was more appropriate just for a children's audience than a predominantly adult audience tonight. That's fine. But we move on now. What we'd like to do next is to sing and ask you to join us the Fiji National Anthem. I just want to tell you a little bit about that. We have the privilege of singing it here tonight. It's a very godly song of praise to God and petition to our God as well. It's easy and a joy to sing because it's to the tune of Dwelling in Beulah Land. No, Beulah Land? Dwelling in Beulah Land. And it's a wonderful engaging melody, and so please, as the words are projected up here, they should come up here any minute, we encourage you to stand and to sing with us the Fiji National Anthem. It's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Sarita. Let's stand as the introduction is given.
Yeah.
that's all we have. There is a second verse, but we haven't got it here this evening. So please take a seat there. Thank you, Sarita. Well, we're moving on now to the major section for tonight, and that's the PowerPoint presentation, the reporting back. Eight of us, well, seven, as a matter of fact, tonight, are going to be combining to bring you this report on our missions trip. And I want to say that in my estimations, in all of the Fiji missions trips that we've had, this was, I believe, the most effective of all. I'm sorry for those who are here that have been on previous trips, but I really feel that this one was perhaps the most effective of all for four reasons. Number one, we had prayed and prayed like we've never prayed before for the effectiveness of this particular missions trip. Lord, our prayer was, Lord, please work in us and through us in a miraculous fashion. And that's what we saw. God answered our prayers wonderfully, and that God worked in the students, he worked in the staff, and he worked through us in ways that were just amazing. Second reason, I think, is that Miss Sampson helped us to bring a standard of excellence to the children's ministries. We appreciate her skill in her children's ministries, and there was a certain standard of excellence there for which we thank Sister Gloria. It's a pity that she's not here tonight. Number three, Pastor Bowler had excelled in his strategic planning of ministry opportunities. We arrived to find that this was planned, this was planned, this was planned, this was the time we were to go there. We needed this kind of gear when we went. He had extra resources, tracts available for us as well to be able to take. And so there was some very real strategic planning. And I think fourth and most importantly, the whole team was expectant of God's blessing and was selfless in ministry. I'll say that again. They were expectant of God's ministry, that God was going to answer our prayers, and also they were absolutely selfless in their ministry that they conducted. Now, I think, therefore, it's enough from me just at the moment. I'm going to invite the first four students to come up for a start, and that's Kaylee Battistuzzi, Nathan Morgan. In this order they'll be presenting. Kaylee first, Nathan Morgan, Kate Castillo and Timothy Anderson. And they'll bring us through this PowerPoint up to the conclusion of their part. And they can take a seat up here on the platform while their mates are presenting. And they can advance the computer here. I'll just show them here what to do. Okay. Okay, Kaylee. Just advance it by that key there. It should advance.
How would you like to introduce myself?
Oh, my name is Kaylee Burst.
That's
it. Yeah, it's year 12.
Yep.
Is that okay?
Yep. Hi everyone, for those who don't know me, I'm Kaylee Battistuzzi and I'm a Year 12 student from Quantrill Park Christian School, and I'm just going to talk about specifically how the girls worked during this missions trip. Our missions trip to Fiji was an experience that we will never forget. On Friday, September 28th, our team of 11 students and 3 staff flew from Sydney to Fiji. We were all eager to not only participate in church and evangelistic meetings, but also to be a blessing to Pastor Bowler, his family, and the congregation of Liberty Baptist Church. Upon arrival, we were introduced to our mode of transportation for the duration of our stay in Fiji, Pastor Bowler's truck. We all found this to be a quite interesting experience, travelling bunched together in the back with no seatbelts on very bumpy roads. The truck rides between destinations were also a great time of fellowship between ourselves and the young people of Liberty Baptist Church as we sang songs together, talked and laughed a lot. We are very thankful to Pastor Bowler for driving us around in the truck for the entire trip. Our first full day was a work day on site at Liberty Baptist Church facilities. The day started with all of us girls cleaning all of the chairs in the facility. Due to the harsh and windy conditions, these chairs were covered in dust and dirt and required some heavy-duty cleaning with bleach and a whole lot of scrubbing. After the chairs, we moved on to all the windows. These two were covered in dust and mould and again required heavy-duty cleaning. On the next working day, the weather conditions were perfect for some outdoor maintenance on the church property. With gloves and hats on, we proceeded to trim the hedges, rake up leaves, pull weeds, and fix the garden. It was a pleasure to be able to purchase the necessary tools required for our ground maintenance and then donate them to the church for future use. It was a blessing to have fellowship and form friendships with other girls from Liberty Baptist Church who joined us in our working endeavours. We laughed together and shared stories as we served together cleaning the property. We are thankful to the Lord for the opportunity to be a blessing to Pastor Bowler and the people of Liberty Baptist Church and the strong and genuine friendships that were formed during this trip. It was great to have an opportunity to serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing, as it says in Psalm 100, verse 2.
All right. Good evening. My name is Nathan Morgan, for those who don't know me, and I was one of the students that went on the Fiji missions trip. Looking back, I can honestly say that it was one of the best experiences of my life. Not any part of me regrets doing it. I saw the Lord working in my heart in a number of ways, and it was a blessing to be able to help out in a number of ways there. Tonight I will be sharing about the physical labor in which the guys were able to help out Pastor Bowler and the church with. We arrived on the Friday night and were immediately put to work the next morning. Here you can see Deng, Dr. Harrington, and I wiping down one side of the church, and then Matthew and Timothy are on the other side, and Joseph is further along, but you can't see him there. As Kaylee mentioned, the winds in Fiji are very dusty, not just in the country towns, but also in the cities too. It was very evident by just looking at our shoes when we returned to Australia. They all had a layer of brown dust on them. But this wind also covers all of the buildings in dust as well. So that Saturday, we helped out by wiping down the outside and then the inside first, outside first and then the inside with soapy water. It made a noticeable difference in the colour of the iron sheets, and the church congregation and as well as Pastor Bowler were very thankful the next day that we had church. The following Monday was another Labour Day, and this time we were moving dirt. As you can see there, the building up in the top right-hand corner is the college dorm. That's where a lot of the college boys stay. And as you can see, it's on top of a hill, and over time, the foundation has started to slip and become loose. Pastor Bowler, this is concerning Pastor Bowler, because the next time that they were to have a flood, he's concerned that the building might end up on the road down the hill. He got to work building a retaining wall, as you can see here. And it was our job to fill in that retaining wall with dirt. So we were moving dirt from other places around the property to that spot there. So it was a lot of shoveling and then putting it into the wheelbarrows and then wheelbarrowing that up to this spot here and tipping it out. So we were doing that for about 5 hours, and it was a blessing to see how the Fijian people worked with us as well, the energy that they had, but we had to have lots and lots of breaks. Otherwise, we would get tired out and sunstroked. And yes, that is all from me.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Kate. On our first Sunday in Fiji, Ms. Sampson, along with some of the team, was able to run the Sunday school. They sang some songs such as God is So Good in English, Fijian, and I think even in the Hindi version. They played some games, gave out lollies, did a craft. And Caitlin told the story of Fanny Crosby's life and how she came to know the Lord as her personal savior to the children with the help of Rochelle, who held the visuals for the children to be able to look at. All the children seemed to enjoy the Sunday school and what the team had presented for them, because they were all smiling, laughing, and full of energy when they came out of the room. Some of us who weren't helping in the children's Sunday school were able to listen to Dr. Harrington preach at the adult Sunday school. Before the main service, the team all sang a vocal item entitled Amazing Grace, Amazing Love, and Mr. Lees preached for the main service using the Christian wheel as an illustration. The children loved to gather around and watch as we played the keyboard and the other musical instruments we brought. They were just very fascinated with it and would ask us if they could have a go at it too. For the afternoon service, the church had a sing-sational where anyone was welcome to give their testimony, share a blessing, or give a special item. This happened every last Sunday of the month, and our first Sunday in Fiji was the last Sunday of September, so we were able to be part of this Sing Sensational. The special items brought by the members that Sunday were all very impromptu, such as Pastor Bola would ask if anyone wanted to sing a special item, and of course no one would like get up. So then Pastor Bola would go, "All right, boys, you're singing a special item." And then the Fiji boys would all get up, look at each other, not know what to do. And then they'd pick the song, like, at the front, on the spot. But it doesn't matter because they still sounded amazing. Along with the Sing-sational, the afternoon service program was entirely given to the team to be able to present some special items and have one of the boys preach. Some of the special items were a vocal duet sang by Kaylee and Caitlin, and I accompanied them on the keyboard. Deng was able to present a Bible telling. Mariam also gave her testimony, and Matthew preached for us that afternoon. On Wednesday, we attended the evening service at Liberty Baptist Church, where we had the opportunity again to minister to the people there. Joseph sang a special item called the Holy City, and he wore a sulu. I think he's wearing one right now. I'm pretty sure. I was able to give my testimony. The girls also sang a special item and was accompanied by Tim. Tim played the piano for the hymn singing in all of the services. And Joseph was the one who preached the word of God. Soul winning. Wednesday was actually a day entirely dedicated to soul winning and tract distribution at a town called Tavua. Most of us were scattered in little groups along the streets and in the shops. And Mr. Lees was kind of missing. We couldn't hear him or see him anywhere. But he was actually able to go with Pastor Wonga, the man wearing the red shirt, to the hospital and the medical center to witness and give tracts to the people there. Pastor Wonga is the pastor of the local Baptist church in Tavua and invited us for lunch at his house, where we ate some wonderful food. We were all surprised as to how open the people were to the gospel. We thank the Lord for the many souls that were saved on that day and to the people who happily accepted your tracts and listened to the word of God.
Good evening, everyone. There we go. My name's Tim Anderson, and I had the opportunity this year to go to the Fiji missions trip. I'm currently a Year 11 student at Conwell Park Christian School, and this is my first year, so quite an experience. And also, I just want to give a quick thank you for those that prayed for us. It wouldn't have been possible without your prayers, so very big thank you. All right. Technology. Oh, there we go. Haha. All right. A lot of technology in Fiji, so I'm very experienced. So, we were greatly ministered by the singing in Fiji, and we expected to go minister to them, but they actually ministered to us greatly through their singing, and they had remarkable voices. So, it was a great blessing, and like Kate said, they gave us a sensational service in the first Sunday, so it was beautiful to hear their sincerity in their voices and their praise towards God. So, it was such a great blessing to hear their voices. And there's the ladies singing, and just back there, that was the boys, their singing in the sensational service. On the Tuesday morning of Fiji, we had the opportunity to go to Ba Special School, and here is us. We gave a presentation. We did the bean skit, the Heavenly Express skit. Dan gave his testimony, and Nathan gave the message, and it was such a great blessing to go minister to the kids there. They were like so happy when we gave out gifts, and it was such a great blessing to see the joy that these kids have. And here's a photo of them. There were about probably 50 or so kids there, so it was a great, tremendous blessing. And here's a photo of Joseph and the bean skit. Very excited. So the kids all loved the skit. So it was basically an opener, and they would all be laughing, and then we'd get into the presentation. It was just basically an icebreaker for all the kids, so it was a great blessing. And then here we have the girls did a special item, and then here we are giving out gifts to all the children there. So, on that same evening, we went to the Methodist boys' school, and here is a photo of us giving a presentation once again, and Kate and Mariam gave a special item in an instrumental. Nathan gave a powerful testimony, which really related to the kids there, and so it was great to, it was actually a great blessing to go and talk to these kids that came from broken homes, and they lost their parents, or they were adopted, and so it was it was really encouraging to see these kids that had lost, you know, so much, but they were so happy to receive the gospel, so there was that, and here's all the kids there, and I gave the message that evening, and so and here's the instrumental. There's me giving the message. And then we were able to go around and talk to some of the kids there, share the gospel with them and witness to them. So it was a great hand-on, first-hand experience to go and witness to these kids. A great opportunity. And then last of all, I think we went to Pastor Bowler's village. And it wasn't quite... We were kind of expecting, you know... like hammers and stuff like that, and we had to be very careful because we had a big rundown beforehand of what we are and we're not allowed to do. Otherwise, we'd get our heads chopped off, and I wanted to come back to Australia alive, so I made sure I followed those rules. And so here's Dr. Harrington and Nathan eating out of a coconut, and there's me and Matthew drinking out of a coconut. Yes. We weren't going to include that picture, but that's okay. And then we went into the Methodist church that they have there, and so we were able to have a tour around the village. And it was, you know, it was great to see that these people were going to church every Sunday, and they still had a faith that they believed in, even though it might have been Methodist. But it was still a great blessing to go and see that, the work there. And also, here is a man and his children, they were bathing in the river, so... Even though it wasn't quite, you know, electricity and everything, they had homes. Like, it was, they had houses, and so they didn't have electricity, but they did have, they would bathe in the river, and so basically the river was their, like, it ran through the village, and it was like their lifeline, sort of, but they did drink out of, like, proper rainwater that was purified and stuff like that, so... Afterwards, we went to in the village. We went and we gave the presentation to the kids after they got back from school, and here's us singing. There's the Heavenly Express skit, and oh, there we go, and that's the skit. And then I gave the message on that day as well, and so even though a few kids didn't really understand English, Mr. Lees, I believe, he was still able to witness to a kid and. He got saved, which was a great blessing. And also, I forgot to mention that at the Methodist Boys' School, we had 3 children saved, so it was a great blessing there. So, thank you.
I'm going to call now the remaining students up here, please, to be able to present, and that's Mariam Benjamin, Rochelle Merrow, and in Miss... Samson's absence, I will be sharing her part. So a few people could come up now, please, and we'll ask Mariam to tell us about eating like kings and queens. Thank you. Jen, if we could have those lights out again.
Hello, my name is Mariam, as Mr. Lee's introduced, and as you heard from Kaylee, Nathan, Kate and Timothy, we all worked very hard for many days. And eventually we got tired and we needed food. So the first picture I have here, the girl on the left is Buna and the girl on the right is Anna. And Anna is Pastor Bowler's daughter. We didn't get to see them as much as some of the others because they needed to stay back and help with the cooking and cleaning with other ladies. But they were a great blessing to us. We did talk to them sometimes and they're really lovely girls. This next photo is of Caitlin and Eudora, and these little kids are from Sunday school, and we were able to minister to them, and we were just having lunch with them, and they seemed to enjoy us a lot, and yeah. This photo here, as you can see, there's a lot of food here, and that's because we had a special lunch called Lovu. This particular dish is kind of a special type of dish, and it was served to us when we first arrived and when we left. Lovu is made by digging a hole into the ground, and then you place banana leaves, place all your food that you need to put on, wrap it in banana leaves again and coal, and you cover it. And then once it's done cooking, you take everything out and you dig up the food, and as you can see, it looked nice and it tasted nice, and we had a lot of it. This is just another photo of one of the ladies who was serving us food there, and as you can see, there's still a lot of food. And this is a photo of what was left of the lofu after. Yeah. And that little boy there, his name is Ratu. Sorry that I don't have a lot to share, but it's about food and you kind of get the gist. So bad.
Miriam ended faster than I thought. I was not prepared. But hi, good evening. I'm Rochelle Merrow. I'm a year 11 student from Connell Park. And yes, I'm new. So hey, so if you haven't seen me, nice to meet you. And as you've heard from tonight, we did remarkable things during our trip, such as the physical labor that we did, the wonderful church ministries that we had the opportunity to experience, and the sorts of food we ate, which was, by the way, very amazing. And however, we also had lots of fun. So aside from the ministries and helping out Liberty Baptist Church, we were given days to relax and enjoy ourselves. Our first ever experience of having a swim was on a Monday afternoon after a busy day of hard work. I recall the journey to this beach to be very bumpy, but I enjoyed every second of it because it felt like being an amusement ride. It was great. But the moment we arrived, we all entered the water, only to find out that the bottom was very rocky and very sharp. So while some of us, like me, eventually chickened out from going any further than 10 meters into the ocean, some were brave enough to endure the pain and continue deeper into the water. Besides swimming, there were numerous rounds of volleyball. Some of us went kayaking and others played with cats, yet we all took the time to admire the sunset before ending the day by sitting around this magnificent bonfire. The result of that day was a bunch of kids returning home with numerous cuts on their hands and feet, but with happy and content hearts. So we also had multiple chances to shop for souvenirs and other goods to take back to Sydney, and we went to numerous clothing stores, different souvenir shops, and visited the markets, which I forgot to just put on now. And this photo right here, as you can see, is from the food market where the vibrance and the freshness of those tomatoes are clearly seen. Mm. And they also had other markets where they sold handmade and crafted items such as bracelets, rings, hair accessories, wooden souvenirs, and a lot more. We sort of figuratively and maybe literally shopped until we dropped. And here is a photo of Joseph, who during our shopping spree stopped to give his boots a shine. Having your shoe shined in Fiji was certainly a lot different from having your shoe shined here, because they were willing to accept whatever amount you had, and of course, Joseph gave very generously. And after deciding that we had enough of shopping and that our money was well spent, we ended our day by having a nice dinner with the Bola family at a Chinese restaurant. And before our final Sunday, we were able to have a touristy day where we went over to Port Denaru and boarded a schooner to Schooner Island. So here's the group on the top deck enjoying the Fiji sunshine. And I said sunshine. Sunshine. That's what I meant. Sorry. Ooh. And it looks better on the bigger screen, but this is a photo of Joseph and Miss Sampson, who decided to sit in the lower deck of the ship and enjoyed the wonderful ride and the beautiful weather. Sorry, I keep mispronouncing things. Matthew and I were the last two kids on the top deck before the group hopped on another boat to finally arrive at the island. We did all kinds of activities once we got on shore. We swam in the bright and clear sea, Some of us went kayaking, a few people played in the sand, and of course we ate lots of food, which was probably one of my favorite things from that entire day. And there were also other activities that a number of us partook in, such as riding a glass boat bottom.
Glass boat.
Yeah, that. Sorry. Oh. Okay, wow. Oh, no. Snorkeling, like Miss Sampson here in this photo, and playing volleyball with the other tourists we arrived to the island with. Overall, during these enjoyable days, and basically throughout the entire trip, many of us were amazed by the beauty of Fiji. Some of us even doubted certain things, like whether the color and the clarity of the water was real, because it seemed too good to be true. Like, is it real? Who knows? However, looking back at the photos we have of each other and of Fiji, there's a greater appreciation of what we've seen, knowing that God created these beautiful things for us to be left in complete wonder. Oh, my voice is breaking. Sorry. Let me repeat that. Knowing that God created these beautiful things for us to be left in complete wonder and for him to receive all the glory. Thank you.
If we can leave the lights out, I'm going to assume the posture of Miss Samson now. I'll try and be Gloria. But the Fijian people, I put some notes together here very quickly while the service was proceeding, but just some things that I'd love to share about the Fijian people. Native Fijians are of Melanesian descent, and so they've got lots of fuzzy hair, and they're very beautiful people to be able to meet and to do, to enjoy fellowship with, particularly those who know Christ. In the 1870s, many people were brought also by the English from India to work on the sugarcane fields there. So you arrive in Fiji and you have the native Fijian population. You also have the Indian Fijian population as well. The Indian Fijians have come to be known as Indo-Fijians. And so both Indian and Fijian cultures coexist there. And both cultures are represented in the food. It's really quite delectable. And so it's really very, very nice to be able to enjoy that. Native Fijians were mostly our focus in our ministry there. And we found them generally to be very gentle people, very gentle people, very caring souls, happy and contented, far more than we ever are. Even those who are not Christians were very happy and contented souls. But they always loved a lot of fun. And so always looking for some fun, this is how we found them. Many of the native Fijians are Methodist or Protestant by birth. I'll explain that after the early Methodist missionaries were there, the government even encouraged and helped for there to be established a Methodist church in the heart of every native village. And so you go to Fiji, you find right in the centre of that village is a Methodist church there. It doesn't mean that the gospel is preached, okay? In fact, many of them have never heard the gospel straightforwardly as we know it to be. And so that's the great dearth that there is in Fiji, that they're very well-churched people, but very, very few of them know Christ as their saviour from sin. Yes, they were very pleased to meet us, to greet us, and to listen to us. That's one of the joys. One of the contrasts with our society is that you seek to tell someone about Christ, here, go away, mate, don't want to hear about it, I know it all, heard it before, go away. But in Fiji, you were given a very welcoming reception for people to hear what you had to say. We could speak with authority concerning the gospel. And so let me just show you a couple of photos here. This is a group of the men, not necessarily the youngest of men, but many of those men are pillars in the church. They do a wonderful work to support Pastor Bola. By the way, we haven't seen a photo of Pastor Bola yet. He's coming. But I think the gentleman on the left, what is his name? Anyone remember his name? But he was the man who would drive the bus if Pastor Bola was unavailable to do that. And the other men there, wonderful helpers. Here's some of the ladies. Most of those
There's Mariam. She just pops up in there as well. But these ladies were involved deeply in the catering for us. They worked tirelessly, day after day, all day, getting the food ready for us when we returned from being out and about. Very happy souls. Here's Brother Joe. Joe's an outstanding man. He's the song leader. He's a pillar of the church there. He's been through Pastor Bowler's Bible College, and he's just about to plant a church nearby Nandi, right near the international airport there in Nandi. And Joe's an outstanding character. The Fijian government, I was being told this story, he's a commercial developer. He has farming interests as well. And because of the, his great success, his enterprising success economically and commercially, the government has given him a grant to even further his business interests as well. So they're all about stimulating investment and enterprise within Fiji. So he's an outstanding gentleman. He was there leading the song service. Every time we met, there he was. Here's some of the Sunday school children. Again, like Kate said, oh, time for an item. Come on, Sunday school, up you come. So they would be there to present their item, and that was great. This is a photo of the Fijian people with our team assembled as well, just taken indoors on the day that we're about to leave. And so you can see a lot of those folk there in among the team. The Bowler family, just a little bit about the Bowler family. Here's a photograph of the children. The eldest one, the tallest one there is Anna. And we didn't get to see a lot of Anna because she was engaged mostly in helping the ladies with catering. She was busy, busy, busy all day. She would do the work of any of the adult women there. Next in line in the pink was Faith. And Faith was with us no matter where we went. And again, you could rely on Faith to do any task equal to the level of responsibility of any adult. I was really amazed, and I'm sure the team were amazed, at the level of responsibility that these young people carried. And then the boys, the taller of the two is David, and the youngest one there is Joel or Joelle. They are adopted children of Pastor and Mrs. Bowler, and you'll understand more in just a moment. But here's a lovely photo of Pastor and Mrs. Bowler. This is the day that we went to the native village, Pastor Bowler's native village, which was about a 3.5-4 hour bumpy trip to get there. And it's very remote. It's not far from Suva, but it's very remote, just in on the coastline. It's very close to the sea. And Mrs. Bowler, I was pleased to be able to come with us for the day. It's a beautiful photo. I treasure that photo of Pastor and Mrs. Bowler. A little bit about them. Pastor Navi Bowler began his adult life in the bank. He thought this would be a good way to spend his time and to get on in Fijian society. And it was while he was in the bank that he was saved in the ministries of an independent Baptist church in Suva. And it wasn't long after that that he surrendered to preach as a young man in the ministry there in Fiji. He told the team the amazing story of his call to train in the United States. He was getting ready to train in Fiji, but the Lord opened the way in a rather miraculous way for him to travel to the United States, and he trained there for the pastoral ministry. He planted this church in Bar, where there were some pre-existing Christian families without a shepherd, two or three families without a shepherd. And so he answered the call. It's a long way from his native village, as I told you, and he came there to Bar to plant the church. The pastor, well, the pastor, he's a big man. But he's a man with a big vision, and his vision is for his church, his vision for his Bible college, his vision for his school, which, by the way, was in recess while we were there. I said, "Brother, why in recess?" He said, "Well, the curriculum is too expensive for our people to afford at the moment, and so I'm trying to help in the background to see if we can access Christian curriculum for the school there so that he can reopen once again to have the school operating." Pastor Bowler is fervent in soul winning. Everything he does is with souls in mind. And I'm sure the team would assent to that as well. Mrs. Bowler, a gracious and godly lady, very gracious and godly lady. And she's learnt much over the years of God's grace and his sovereignty through the events of her life. And we asked her to share her testimony, and here she is sitting with the team sharing her testimony, especially in the loss of her twin babies at birth in 2009. Can you imagine the devastation of losing twin boys at birth? And that explains David and Joelle. They were adopted by the Bowlers, they were actually relatives, children that were very, very young and were relatives of theirs, and were adopted at a very, very young age. And so they love them as their own, and they're part of the family, which is wonderful. And I'm sure all the team came to love Tara very, very much. That's her name. I'll take us a little bit further now. Now, it's my privilege to share with us just at the end here a challenge from God's Word, and I'm just going to look at one verse. This is very different from our normal Sunday night, but one verse in particular that came to mind lots of times as we were there in Fiji, and I'd love to share it with you. If you could turn in your Bibles, John 4:35. Maybe some of you know it off by heart. But the fields are ripe unto harvest. John 4:35 says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." I'd like to start off with just this introduction. The significance of a white harvest. Let me just tell you a little bit about that. As a young child, I lived on my grandfather's wheat farm for 8 years. I remember distinctly summertime, wheat harvest time. Thousands of acres would be filled with heavy heads of grain, gently swaying in the breeze when it blew. And I mean very heavy heads of grain. On summer days. As December approached, these heads of wheat would miraculously change from green, just as in a green plant or a green leaf. They would miraculously change almost overnight sometimes from green to a golden, and then by about mid-December they would be white, absolutely white. Each grain of wheat enclosed by God in a specifically or specially created little sheath or in a gloom, waiting for the harvester to come and to strip the heads of wheat from their stalks. The wheat paddocks were ready for harvest because of their colour, white. I remember it distinctly. And when I came to know Christ as my Saviour, to read about the white harvest that was ready for harvest, it was a confirmation of what I already knew. You could not only see the white, but you could smell the readiness of the crop. Take a deep breath. You could smell the ripeness of that beautiful crop, ready to be harvested. You know, the interesting thing here we read in John 4:35, the context of what we're reading about here, is that Jesus would have looked out over some ripe harvest fields too. He was doing as I've done as a child. He was looking out over ripe harvest fields. And he stood there looking out from Jacob's well. He would have been in the vicinity of Jacob's well there near Sychar, where he had offered the Samaritan woman living water. And to his disciples he said in John 4:35, as we read it here, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest, just like the Samaritan woman." He had the context of having just spoken and offered the living water to the Samaritan woman. "Just like the Samaritan woman," he said to the disciples, "that I dealt with just now regarding her soul." And just before that, as you look back in what happened in the days preceding that, just like the many souls that were baptized in Judea the week before that, the Lord Jesus had been busy baptizing. And just like the Pharisee Nicodemus just before that, who the Lord Jesus had dealt with, where he realized that he had to be born again. You see, the Lord Jesus was busy in the harvest field. He was busy reaping. He was busy in the field. And Jesus would have said, "There is a harvest of souls out there that is ripe because it's white. It's ripe for the picking." And that's what we experienced in Fiji. This is the point that I want to make there. You see, and here are some photographs. This is Liberty Baptist Church. This is a photo of the church in Bar, Fiji. The saints who gather here are zealous for living for Christ. You've heard from the young people. They're zealous for Christ, every single one of them, for growing in Christ, and for the souls of the lost around about them. On the above left, you can see there is South Pacific Bible College. That building protruding on the above left. That's the Bible college that Pastor Bowler has built there. And above top, you heard from Nathan, there's the student dorms right up there on the top of the hill where the lights are glowing. This man has a vision for souls. He has a vision for a wonderful ministry there in Fiji. Another photo. You've seen one a bit like that. Here are the children of Pastor Bowler's native village. God gave our team great liberty that day. I sensed the liberty of God's Holy Spirit to be able to minister to these children. And we preached and we shared the gospel in the end there one-to-one. Many children were attentive for their souls, respectful of salvation and the challenge that was given to them. And they were responsive to the invitation to put their faith in Christ. And as it's been mentioned, I had the privilege of leading a 13-year-old boy by the name of Isaiah to Christ. I've not had such a clear, crisp decision for many, many years of someone coming to Christ. Pray for Isaiah, will you? There in that native village. Here we have Mrs. Bowler and her boys ministering to others in the native village on the day that we were there. Some of the team might remember the two ladies in the pink. I don't remember their names. Here we have these boys. These are all unsaved cane-cutting boys in the village of Tavua, all under the ministry of Pastor Wonga. Okay, he was the one that led us in soul winning that day. Now, these boys, I said to Pastor Wonga, what's your intention with these? They were out, and there's Joseph. Look at him. It's drenching rain. Everything stopped because it was pouring rain, and out they go to play volleyball. Anyway, but nevertheless, I said, what's your intention for these boys? He said, I want to minister the gospel to these boys. These boys have come from villages in the mountains. He said, they've never been here before, but it's my goal to minister to them that they might come to Christ as well. Here we have these boys, Tim, with some eager onlookers there. I don't know what they're doing with the phone, mate. What are you doing with the phone? But anyway. Phones from Taronga Zoo. There you go. But no, we had some wonderful opportunities to minister. This was in the boys' home, wasn't it? Was that the place? Yeah. Okay, good. Here we have Kate and Rochelle ministering to a young boy again in the boys' home. Here is again Bar Special School. They really got into it. They really appreciated the ministry there on that very, very first day. Here we have some of the ladies of the church. These were the prayer warriors. I was speaking to Mrs. Bowler. I don't think I shared this with the team at all, but she said, Mr. Lees, these are those who pray the most earnestly for the work here in Fiji, she said. These ladies who are part of the catering team. So what a blessing to have ladies that are like that. And how we love these people in the land where they wish to hear about Christ. What a transformation. What a difference from our own society here. It really is. And that's the end of the slideshow. But brethren, we're fools if we fail to take up the open door of opportunity that is there and the receptiveness of hearts in Fiji. We need to be big on missions, folk. We need to be big on missions. If they won't hear us here, we need to get to the mission field where they'll hear us and where souls will come to Christ. Well, it's both, isn't it? It's not one or the other, it's both. But there is an open door of opportunity. Let's pray for our young people, particularly those who are part of the mission field trip, that the Lord may touch their heart. I would love to see one of them go back to Fiji to be a missionary for the Lord there. It's been mentioned already tonight, but I'd like to thank all of those who prayed, and I'd like to thank all of those who gave tonight over the period of time as well. Many of you gave very, very generously, and we appreciate that very much. Many paid big dollars, top dollars, for their cars to be washed. Thank you very much for that. That was a very, very great blessing. Well, thank you very much. We come now to the closing part of our service, and we thought it would be a good thing if we could sing, since we've got the tune in our minds now, why don't we sing Beulah Land? How about that? Let's turn to 400.